jump, jump, jump.
Yes. Good Wednesday morning. Happy hump day to one and all. Taz of the Moose with you. Taz is off. Mark Malusis with you. Andrew Bogish sitting in for Taz as we take you right up until 9 a.m. Eastern time, 6 Pacific here on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227.
Attention hotline fans.
That is your number to call. Pete and Mike across the way. Bogish with your update, sitting with me. 3 hours to play with right here on CBS Sports Radio as we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. What's going on, Andrew? How you doing, bud?
Moose, good to see you again.
Yeah,
Two days
man.
In a row.
How's everything?
I like it. I missed Taz a little bit. Happy he'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah. You good?
I'm good.
Good.
I'm all right.
All right.
Are
Very
you
nice.
Okay?
Yes, I'm doing well, man. All good. All good, brother. And we're going to be a lot to get into, certainly. As we take you for the next 3 hours right here on CBS Sports Radio, we'll be welcomed and joined by Mark Rogers a little bit later on the program. Sports host out in Oklahoma City. We'll talk a little bit about the future of one Russell Westbrook with the Oklahoma City Thunder, where he potentially could end up, and really the state of that OKC Thunder program and organization here moving forward with all the tumultuous turnover that we've seen so far in the association. But we get it going with the All-Star game, which transpired last night. All-Star break for Major League Baseball. And the break does continue here moving forward for the next couple of days. But, you know, 2 days in what was a great celebration of the sport, where you had some poignant moments. We talked about the home run derby a lot that went Pete Alonso's way of the Mets. Guerrero Jr. and Jock Peterson of the Dodgers and the Blue Jays respectively put on an absolute show as well. On Monday night out of Cleveland, Ohio. And then last night, you got a pretty good baseball game that went the American League's way as they complete and continue their utter domination. I think 25-6-1 in the last 32 All-Star games is the American League against the National League. And you saw it. They were riding a six-game winning streak going into last night. They come out victorious 4-3. Bieber, from the pitcher from the Cleveland Indians, was just named to the team, was named the All-Star Game MVP. He struck out the side in his one inning of work. Masahiro Tanaka garnered the victory. You saw Joey Gallo ended up having the go-ahead. Well, what ended up being the game-winning home run that made a 4-1 lead at the time. The American League holds on to the 4-3 victory. Alonso almost had himself a big-time moment, stepping up to the plate with the bases loaded, down three, and maybe you thought maybe the home run champ would hit a home run there to give the National League the lead. He did not. He ripped one up the middle that short-hopped Gleyber Torres, the Yankees. He couldn't handle it, went into left center field, 2 runs scored, but that was pretty much all she wrote for the National League. Chapman, brilliant in his ninth inning of work, worked that pretty easily, had Sabathia come out to the mound. It was a pretty good night, I thought, for Major League Baseball last night.
And
Andrew,
it was a regular baseball game. I mean, of all the games that would take 4+ hours and hit million home runs and double-digit scoring, that one played in, I think, 248 last night. 16 strikeouts by the AL. It's a record for pitchers in a 9-inning All-Star game, and it was on fast forward. All of a sudden, it was 10 o'clock, and it was in the 7th inning. And I'm like, what world do we live in that it's 1954 again?
Yeah.
But here we are in 2019, the year of offense, where we barely got anything, only 2 home runs after 312 the night before in the home run derby. That might be my favorite thing about it, is that it didn't go 17 hours. It was fast. It was clean. It was relatively well played. There was some good defense in this game. Maybe want a little bit more offense and a little less strikeouts, but they threw in a double steal, the NL, in the 8th inning as well.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah, I thought it was, it wasn't a very highly entertaining baseball game.
No, not an all-timer, but it wasn't a stinker either.
No. It was just, I don't know. I would probably say for me, it wasn't really all that memorable. I would put it that way. I would look at last night in one of those games where I'm going to harken back to 10 years from now and say, you know, being one of those great All-Star game moments. Last night didn't have it. I mean, you know, I go back in, you know, you can go back to the 5 strikeouts by Pedro, 99, the 5 Ks in a row by, you know, Fernando Valenzuela, I think that was, 85. Bo Jackson, 89, out in Anaheim, you know, hitting that home run on his first ever at bat, representing the Royals, the American League. Look back at that moment. I mean, there's been some very, very memorable. You know, Chan Ho Park grooving one in for Cal Ripken, final All-Star game for him, for the Iron Bird up in Seattle. In that All-Star game, there have been some Derek Jeter win the MVP down in Atlanta. There have been some memorable MVP or memorable All-Star game moments. Last night was kind of just nondescript. I mean, it was a good baseball game. It moved quick. I think that's great for Manfred and the guys in the Major League Baseball offices. I think it was fantastic, but it's not one of those nights where you had one of those magical All-Star game moments.
No, and like, you know, the TV package right now to our left is showing CC Sabathia, who had, it was a great gesture by Major League Baseball to include him in this game in his original home last night, going out to the mound to settle down Aroldis Chapman in the ninth inning. I mean, that's fine. It's good. It was fun last night, but you're right. There was no long-lasting memory. Shane Bieber carrying the side for the MVP is not going to go long.
Yeah, Francona react was nice.
Yeah, but I mean, it doesn't join Pedro or any other remarkable pitching performance we've seen in All-Star game history. The other way of looking at it for me is that the game didn't suck, and that's why,
I'm happy about it.
There was no overwhelming positive singular moment.
Well, right, and you don't have to have that. I think the fact that the game didn't go extra innings, the game didn't last 4 hours long, it didn't go past midnight on the East Coast, I think that's good for Major League Baseball. Yeah, you got a good representation of the sport, Andrew, without even having that great magical moment where you had good defensive plays, but you certainly had the long ball. We saw that with Gallo from the Texas Rangers. We know strikeout rates are up. You saw that, as you mentioned, the stat and all the strikeouts garnered by the American League staff. So, it's kind of indicative of where we are. And I'm not saying it was a bad game. It was nice that it moved along pretty quickly. It was nice that it had a nice pace to it. And I thought it was a good representation of the sport. It just was not an all-time great baseball game. It was not an all-time great All-Star game. And you don't need it for it to be. I mean, you did have those moments. You mentioned Sabathia honored before the game, throughout the ceremonial first pitch, Cora, and, you know, the one-time Cleveland Indian started his career in Cleveland, you know, as, a big 18-year-old lefty that was throwing the ball, 95, 98, 99 miles an hour. Sabathia goes out at the end of the game with Chapman throwing the ball 101 miles an hour to get that one last standing ovation. I thought it was fantastic to see Carrasco from the Cleveland Indians on the field when they have that special moment, I think, in the seventh inning stretch. Is it seventh inning or sixth inning where they, they do the stand up to cancer?
It was, I think it was the sixth.
Sixth inning. And everybody's holding up signs. And then you see, Francona and Santana and Francisco Lindor and Bieber, and Carrasco is in the middle of all of them, and he's battling leukemia, as we know. He was standing there, and the hug that he got from Francona and his teammates, and really the ovation from the fans in Cleveland, Ohio, I don't think there was a dry eye in the house seeing that. That was one of those memorable moments, from last night as well. But in terms of game action, it just wasn't there. But I thought it was a good night. I thought it was a good couple days for a sport that desperately needs it.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. I mean, no negatives. Everything went super well. I mean, again, you could have certainly mixed in a dynamic player or two from the more dynamic names. But this is the problem, so to speak, with baseball. And we're going to get into this over the next 3 hours, too. How do you make certain guys more popular, introduce them to the world? I mean, the Home Run Derby is almost a better way than the game because it gives you this one singular dynamic trait. And this, this has always been my issue with the conversation of how does baseball promote itself better. There are things about baseball built in that can't change, that are insurmountable, that limit the way you can promote guys and make them more popular, make the game more popular, because it's not in every other game. The main guy, and hockey obviously is different because there's line changes, but when Sidney Crosby's on the ice or Connor McDavid is on the ice, he's always on camera. Mike Trout in a baseball game might be on camera on a regular day for like 5 minutes of a three-hour baseball game based on his three or four at-bats, a handful of times on base, and then maybe the ball or two that goes into the outfield, and you might go a couple of game stretch where there's nothing for Mike Trout to do to show off him being Mike Trout. You go to an NBA game, you're going to see LeBron probably do something cool almost every single game. There's going to be one dunk or one great pass. There might, you know, Giannis is going to do one coast-to-coast rush in that kind of game. Hockey guys are going to score goals. Tom Brady's going to come close to throwing a touchdown pass. Somebody's going to make a big hit defensively in the NFL. Baseball is not guaranteed all of that. So you missed it last night, but all things considered, another Alonso hit and some individual, you know, big Joey Gallo swing, a big Charlie Blackmon swing. All things considered, it was a good 48, 72 hours for baseball, but still missing the top end stuff.
Yeah, I mean, and that's fine. I mean, you know, you're not wrong about, you know, with the Trout stuff, though. I mean, there's nothing you can do to change it, right?
Right,
I mean,
and that's
in terms of the, well, I mean, the one thing they can do, which you saw last night in a couple different instances with a couple of the players, is the new ad campaign about, you know, we just want to play. And you saw it early on in the game with Mike Trout, which, you know, talks about his father and his family and growing up and the hard work and playing other sports and, you know, gave you more of a feel about Mike Trout, you know, the 8-time All-Star, I believe it is now, than you've ever gotten before, you know. And that was, I think, right after the first half inning or maybe the first inning where that ad did run. And it was a Major League Baseball sponsored ad on Fox last night. And you need to see more of that. I mean, that's the stuff that you need to see because there's more of that connectivity because, you know, the robotic figure that Mike Trout is, and I understand he doesn't have this overwhelming personality and you're not looking for him to be anything different than who he is, but what baseball can do is accentuate what he is as a player. And honestly allow the fan base and fans and sports fans to be able to connect to him. And I think that ad last night, if you missed it, hop online, you can check it out. MLB, Mike Trout ad. I thought that was a hell of an ad that they ran early on in that game. And I thought it was a great promotion of exactly what makes Mike Trout.
Yeah. And I thought the in-game stuff with the players mic'd up was a good touch too, but that's All-Star game specific. You're not going to be able to do that in a regular game.
No, you're not.
Back on local TV or even in ESPN or
Fox
National
Broadcast.
But it
did make the game more entertaining.
Yeah, and so it certainly helped last night. And that's why, you know, last night was a night to keep your kids up past their bedtime if you could and if they wanted to and introducing to some new players. And, you know, we were watching player introductions last night together, me and my daughter, and, you know, there were teams that she had never heard of before, just watching guys come out of the dugout and seeing, you know, what a Minnesota Twin uniform looked like.
There
and,
you go.
Know, oh, that's Jorge cute. Polanco. Like, so that's what you, that's, you know, this is supposed to kind of be ground zero, so to speak, for making new fans. You introduce all of these names, and I think it was the NL lineup last night was the youngest ever, the starting lineup. They were, so many guys under 25. So baseball's in a good spot. There's got some momentum here, and they've got more chances to build on it. Whether they correctly build on it, though, is the question.
Well, and that's going to be the big thing is, you know, people knock, you know, Mike Trout for not having a personality. Kawhi Leonard's got zero to no personality. And, you know, people cared and were passionate about exactly where Kawhi Leonard was going to end up and debate about exactly the impact that Kawhi Leonard has had on the association. So, you know, you could let your play and your brilliance on the court, or in this instance on the baseball diamond, lead the way. You don't have to be this magnanimous personality in order to go out and connect with people because you can marvel at just how good the player he is. And, you know, I was, you know, sitting in the SNY newsroom last night and people were, you know, and a buddy of mine was who works behind the scenes, you know, we were talking about Trey. He goes, Tube is buried in Anaheim. I go, but, I mean, I'll be honest with you, 30 years from now, he's the guy that you're going to be talking about that's playing tonight. I mean, he's going to be the guy that is the historical, generational talent. All due respect that everybody else played that played in that game last night, but he's the best player on the field by far, and it's not even really close to the position that he plays defensively at center field to what he is offensively. The combination of power and speed, there's not anybody that's really close to what Mike Trout represents. And I get that if you've got a little bit of an East Coast bias, that you're saying, well, I'm not staying up late to watch an Angel game. And I get that if you pay your hard-earned money, you're only seeing Mike Trout get 4 at-bats during the course of the game, and he's not getting a ton of face time. But, you know, with all that being said, baseball can do a much better job of marketing their star players. And what you saw last night early in that game, you need to see more of it, because you don't complain about guys having this non-personality in other sports when they're marketed properly. In baseball, unfortunately, it is so regionalized and so city-specific that they don't care, or have not in the past here, Andrew. Maybe that's going to change here moving forward, to marketing their star players on a national scene.
You know, I don't know, though, if Mike Trout's location changes anything. I mean, obviously, the time change would theoretically be helpful if he was playing at a time where more people were awake. But again, that now involves people who are not in his town, not in his city, watching his games on a regular basis. So now you've got to have the, whatever they call it, the at-bat package, the extra innings package to watch wherever he's playing. And plus, he's still going to be Mike Trout. I mean, he's chosen not to be as out there as he could be, and that's fine. And it's can't critique him for that or say he should do more. It's his own choice, and I don't think he would change his business structure, so to speak, if he was a Philly or a Yankee or a Met.
No, but I think he'd be marketed differently.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, but I mean, still, like, is he going to be on national TV more? A little bit, sure. But
I think he would be, yeah.
But even that, I don't know. You still need him. You still need personality, and he's chosen to keep himself private. And again, that's all well and good, and I don't know how much that would have changed.
I don't know if you do. I mean, does Kawhi got a great personality?
He might. Apparently he does.
No, not really. Not to what? No. Hold on a second. That's a two different argument, because we both don't know Mike Trout on a friend to friend basis. Going out on a hunting trip or a fishing trip with Mike Trout, or showing up at an Eagle game with Mike Trout. Right. We don't know that. And we don't know that about Kawhi. I'm talking about what we see as Joe Q Public. And what we see from Kawhi Leonard as Joe Q Public, he gives you nothing.
Well, I mean, except though the first hint we've gotten at it was him mocking himself on the stage at the
I mean, that's
parade.
A celebratory parade.
No,
I mean,
my point is, we don't know anything about either one of them, because they've chosen to not let us in.
Well,
can't say he doesn't have a personality. No, we just don't know
it. Well, I'm going on the idea that he chooses not to engage in that way. Listen, everyone can be different to the public eye than in private. We've seen multiple examples of that. I'm talking about what they allow the public to take in. And both players are very similar in nature. However, people care more about Kawhi Leonard than they do Mike Trout. Why is that?
Because basketball is more popular than baseball, especially with younger fans. And I think because Kawhi, it's cooler to be Kawhi Leonard than it is to be Mike Trout.
Why is it cooler to be Kawhi Leonard?
Because I think people want to dunk, and people want to shoot threes, and people want to be athletic. And you can't. Baseball is a refined taste. Like, baseball, to understand Mike Trout's greatness, you have to kind of watch Mike Trout over a long stretch of time and appreciate all the nuances of baseball. You know, going first to third and the extra base and making a good throw.
No question, the game certainly does impact.
I can watch Kawhi Leonard go dunk or hit that, there is almost no, it's easier for, not easier, it's more probable for Kawhi Leonard to hit a fallaway corner jumper to win a playoff series than to get Mike Trout
right
up there in game seven of a World Series hitting a game-ending homer.
Does the NBA make it easier for you to care about Kawhi Leonard than Major League Baseball does?
Yes.
Yeah, and that's there, and here lies the problem. And that's where I think Major League Baseball needs to resolve it. I agree with you. I mean, I think the millennial buys into the NBA more so than they buy Major League Baseball. I agree with you. I think they dig. To throw out a 70s term, I think they dig the NBA game. It's timed. It's 2.5 hours. It's not a 3 to 4 hour commitment on a nightly basis. You can look at the length of the season. They buy into the drama. They like the scene as well. I mean, there's a lot that's really playing into the popularity of the NBA here, but I also think it's the marketing of the player. And you're right. I mean, listen, I mean, Mike Trout might walk into a barbecue, at his home during the course of the offseason, and he might be a modern-day Jerry Seinfeld, ripping jokes left and right and working the room. And people are much different to family and friends at times than what they show out there to you and I, who don't know Mike Trout from a hole in the wall, and maybe have interviewed him on one time or another, but don't really know him on that kind of level. But I also think the marketing campaign that you see for Major League Baseball, you see a cavalcade. The one thing is, you know, when you look at the theme of the last two nights is the turnover, the young stars. You could say baseball is in good hands, right? Alonso, McNeil from the Mets, Gleyber Torres from the Yankees, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. from the Toronto Blue Jays. You mentioned it, you know, the youngest starting lineup in, you know, since what? I mean, it's the youngest starting outfield since I think you had Mays, Aaron, and Frank Robinson for the National League. I mean, think about that. The youngest starting outfield, I think you got to go back, I think it was 57 since you had a younger starting outfield than you did last night in the National League, right? So it's a long time, right? And they've got young stars here. But, Andrew, they got to do something with these young stars. You know, they've got to market Pete Alonso with the Polar Bear, right? They've got to market, go out and market Mike Trout a lot better. Francisco Lindor, who's got a smile that basically could light up a city, they've got to do a better job of marketing it. Acuna Jr. from the Atlanta Braves, they got to do a better job of marketing these guys and making sure that everybody, not just people in Atlanta or Los Angeles or New York, care about these guys, but people, you know, people outside of those, you know, major cities care about those players as well and what's going on in their lives, because in the NBA and the NFL, people care. Outside of your major market, people care about what's going on in Cincinnati and Cleveland if you're in New York or New England or Los Angeles. They care. And baseball needs to be able to make up that gap in distance that the other sports now have on them.
Yeah, and I mean, this really, there are a lot of parallels to the NBA, which is so rich in young talent. I mean, this is as good as baseball has been in terms of the depth of all of these guys. It's one of the things that Rob Manfred was talking about yesterday, going back and forth with Tony Clark, the head of the union, about free agency and the draft and changing service time rules, is that there are more young players in baseball right now making an impact at this young age, which means they're going to be making impacts for a longer time now. And you've got a chance to meet them here early when they're bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and they got all this personality and they haven't kind of gotten themselves into being a brand and shoring things up and being more about business and whatever. They're just out there having fun. And yeah, I mean, it's not easy, and there's always going to be these built-in things that are going to hold them back that make it difficult to get the job done. But they need to find the right people, old, young, women, men, wherever they're, you know, international thoughts here as well, in just terms of getting everybody out there and understanding just how good they are and that they deserve to be watched almost every single night.
Yeah, and they need more Andrew Bogushes in the world with their kids watching the game
right
on a Tuesday night. I mean, that's what they need, you know, to turn over that fans, to make, you know, those All-Star Game, Midsummer Classic, you know, moments more memorable where those fans turn over and they keep on coming back. One other thing baseball needs to do, and I think a lot of people need to do if you care about the sport of Major League Baseball, we'll get into that next. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. What was your take on what transpired last couple days in Cleveland, Ohio? Reaction to the All-Star game last night, 4-3 American League, the victors. Alonso, your home run derby champ, a good couple nights for baseball. How can it get better? We'll explain. Plus, we'll get into the commissioner's comments about the Juice baseball reaction to Justin Verlander's comments on Monday. We'll get into that next. Mark Melusis, Andrew Bogish with you. It's Taz and the Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
This is Major League Baseball legend Frank Thomas. You're listening to Taz and Moose on the CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. And the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Mark it down, Bilotti. Go to geico.com, 15 minutes. You can save 15% or more on your car insurance. Let's head down to the great state of Alabama. It's George at CBS Sports Radio. What's up, George?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning, George.
What's up, George?
Hey. I want to talk a little bit about the baseball and getting marketing and regional coverage and getting these guys out there and getting them more marketable
This
morning. One thing I thought about being a former player, we're playing 160, 162 games a year, and every 7 to 10 days you're getting a day off in between 3 and 4 game series. The guys really don't have time to get out there to get marketable. Like, for instance, tonight you got the ESPYs, right?
Yeah.
So you've got two teams tipping off tonight just off the All-Star break. What kind of representation is MLB going to have at the ESPYs, you know?
Well, right, and you're thinking if you're a, you know, I mean, do you look at the ESPYs as the end-all, be-all? I mean, I'm not an ESPYs guy. So,
no.
You know, the games, Major League Baseball has got one singular game on Thursday night with the Astros and Rangers down in Texas, down in Arlington, and then everyone gets back to work across the baseball landscape on Friday. You know, that's fair. I mean, about the ESPYs tonight. I mean, there might be a couple baseball players that find their way. What is that, in Los Angeles tonight?
Yeah, find their way to LA tonight
and take in the ESPYs. There might be a couple guys.
Yeah, and you're wanting to get these guys on TV. You're on them on national television, on other platforms other than baseball and other than sports. And I'm a huge Braves fan. I mean, I always have been ever since a little fella, even when they were terrible. I love watching the Braves, but can we just reduce it? They got to play the Phillies, what, 12, 14 times this year?
Yeah, it's a lot of baseball.
Three or four games.
No,
oh, yeah, three or four game series, home or away, would be perfect. It would make the games mean more. You would push more against each other. You would get more out of the players. If you only, hey, I only got seven chances to beat this team and get them out of the way for the schedule this year.
No, true. But, George, let me ask you this. What makes you care about somebody?
Well, as in baseball or just somebody in general?
No, well, it works one and the same. What makes you care about somebody, right? What makes you connect with somebody?
Well, you know, spending more time with them, I guess, would be the biggest thing.
Well, right, knowing them, right? Knowing what makes them tick, right? I mean, you look at the All-Stars last night. You watch an NBA All-Star game. You know what makes a lot of those guys tick, right? You do.
Yeah.
You've learned a lot about them in a short amount of time over a long period of time. You know, you don't.
Yeah.
I mean, you know a little bit more about Verlander because he's married to Kate Upton, right? So, you know, or they're engaged. I believe they're married. You know a little bit more about Verlander, but you don't know a lot about what makes these guys tick. You don't. And that's a fault on the teams. It's a fault on Major League Baseball in the old because I think if you do, I think you'd care a lot more. And that's the problem you have. I mean, Howard Stern, who, you know, has had the greatest, whether it be on satellite or terrestrial radio, you know, he's the greatest morning show host that this medium has ever seen, right, and ever known, and probably will ever know, right? What makes you care about Howard Stern on a daily basis? I know now he only does a show 3 days a week on Sirius, and he does a fantastic job, and I know John Hine, I work with him over at SNY, on a pretty regular basis.
Nice name drop.
You know a lot about Howard and what makes him tick and about his life. And he's pulled down the curtain a lot. And, you know, it's not this phony baloney stuff. It's being real and being genuine. And I'm not saying you need to know every detail about every athlete's life here, Andrew, but Major League Baseball has got to do a little bit better of a job here of pulling down the curtain on some of their star players. You don't have to know everything, but give you a little bit better of a feel so then I care about Mike Trout more than recognizing him as this robotic-type baseball figure and looking at him and marveling at his talent, that I care a little bit more about Mike Trout on a daily basis.
Yeah, I'll say this. Baseball has a really good tool in MLB Network. I think those guys, that network does a tremendous job. There's no catching NFL Network because there's just so much behind it, and it's football, and they mix in NFL film stuff, which is the best sports documentary overall, you know, ever. But MLB Network is second place in terms of other league channels. And if you can, and it's, you know, it's not always, I don't think it's always in basic packages. I think you've got to kind of go step up to have that included. But when you have that, I mean, that's where also, too, you can find out more about these guys and those shows in the afternoon that are daily that have guys checking in from the ballpark, because that is also, as George mentioned, part of the problem is, you know, we like poking fun at LeBron for shooting Space Jam 2 or having, or any NBA players kind of outside interest in what they do. They can do those things because they only play three or four times a week.
No, that's true.
You know, baseball players, they have literally no time to do anything else except sleep and wake up and get back to the ballpark, especially when, you know, they're traveling, coming back from a road trip that's not far away, and they're getting in at 2 a.m., 3 a.m., going back to bed for a little bit, and then getting up and being right back at the ballpark at 3 the next day. I mean, it's hard to find the windows to go to a school, to go to a Little League event, to go shoot a commercial, to go do radio tours like the other sports are able to do, and football players have the whole week off in between games. So it's another thing that hurts and hampers baseball's attempts. Whatever you're going to come up with, you've got to fit it into the busiest schedule that any of these pro athletes have to deal with.
And Andrew, I mentioned it going to break. One thing that baseball also needs to stop doing is this. Stop talking about what's wrong with the game. Because that's the... I feel like that's the daily conversation. You know, pace of play, right? Pitch clock, right? We'll get to the... We could talk about the juice balls. That's a different topic of conversation because that's a... That it's drastically affected the style and fashion, or really the numbers. The numbers at one point in time meant something. I mean, you've got Bud Selig going out there pushing this book that he's out there talking about the steroid era, right? And the fact that it happened under his watch, but then he said he quote unquote put an end to it. Yeah, after steroids brought back Major League Baseball from the depths of despair, and everyone celebrated the summer of 98, then all of a sudden you realize when Barry Bonds is hitting is basically the modern day Babe Ruth. You know, you're saying to yourself, well, something's wrong with the game. I mean, something's wrong here. It doesn't make much sense. Then you decided to try and put an end and bring drug testing into the phase. When Gene Orza is basically telling clean players for the Players Association, you know, high tide raises all boats, trying to protect the dirty players instead of trying to protect the clean players. That was the time we were in Major League Baseball. But Major League Baseball needs to stop talking about what's wrong with the sport. Do you think about, I mean, how many, can you count?
But isn't that part of what we're trying to figure out right now?
Well, but aren't we talking about marketing players instead of the game? I'm talking about the actual game. Do we sit there and break down and talk about the NBA game? I mean, at times we'll talk about the three-point shot, right?
Right.
But does it dominate the conversation like it does in Major League Baseball?
Well, I mean, kind of. Not,
it does?
Well, I mean, not in the technical aspect of the game. No one's talking about the NBA game being too long or too many pitching changes, too many commercial breaks, but there is conversation about the three-point shooting and the way the game is played. But I think right now, half the conversation, if not more, about free agency is the negative. I mean, every call is complaining about super teams and Kevin Durant going here or going there. Are these guys always joining forces? That's a negative conversation about
that
is wrong with basketball.
But that's a negative conversation off the court. I'm talking about on the court. You're right about the three-point shot. Right, you're right about the fact that the three-point shot, how wide open the game is, you can't play defense, no arm bars, no hand checks, and you know, bringing in zone, how wide open it is now, it's more offensive-minded than defensive-minded. But it doesn't dominate the conversation, right? I mean, we don't really have those conversations about the National Hockey League. I mean, we head up north,
TSN. We have no hockey conversation.
Right, there's not a lot of hockey talk, but I don't think even when I watch the NHL Network or whatever, guys aren't focused. You listen to guys that do, you know, hockey talk on a daily basis. The conversation's not focused about what's wrong with the game. The National Football League, sometimes you do, but it's more about instant replay than anything else, right? I mean, it's about officiating. Well, it's about officiating. It's about, you know, blown call. They need to start replaying this. This needs to be challenged. I mean, that's really what it's more about than anything else. Major League Baseball, I feel like we're trying to resurrect the game on a month-to-month basis, don't you? You feel like we're always talking about the game's too long? There's too many pitching changes. Oh, my God. You've got to move the game along. There's got to be a pitch clock. Get back into the batter's box. Oh, this game doesn't relate. You've got to. Aren't we talking about the actual game? Isn't it one thing to, you know, instead of talking about what's wrong with it, maybe start to emphasize what's right with Major League Baseball?
Sure. I mean, in general, I'd always love if we skewed to the positive then more than the negative in life and in sports across the board. But I have to really sit down and really kind of do like a inventory on, because, you know, you watch a basketball game and you're inevitably going to get into a conversation. And sometimes it's the guys on TV who started about, oh, they were tougher back in the 90s. That wasn't a foul back then. Like there are every sport has its own negative conversation that comes up an awful lot. Now, and I think for baseball, why it might feel more prominent right now is because these are part of the solutions possibly for making the game more popular, because If there's going to be six games a week for my team or for anybody, you know, if baseball is every single night, it's unrelenting, it's coming and going, and if you want me to, you know, to sit there and watch Francisco Lindor in Cleveland or Mike Trout or anybody, you know, there's a lot of non-plays involving them that I got to sit through and weed through, and if I can get to those quicker, then maybe the benefit is there. I mean, it's a commitment to sit there and watch an entire baseball game.
It is.
Because you got to wait for that one time for these guys to show off what they can do. So if we can get, you know, shorter commercial breaks, quicker games altogether, I think that helps them. And the conversation continues because, A, baseball hasn't fixed it. And at least for me, some of the ideas are completely nonsensical. And if they go into effect, are really going to bother me as a fan. If, in particular, the three-pitcher minimum, the three-batter minimum for pitchers, I should say. And I don't need any gimmicky extra-inning stuff either.
All right, let me ask you this, though. Do you think what's wrong with baseball, do you think the game, in essence, is what the game is? Do you think what's wrong with baseball is, in essence, the inability to connect their athletes with the millennial young sports fan?
Yes, but
I mean, don't you think you're not going to be able to make baseball a two-hour game?
No.
You're never going to be able to do that. You're never going to be able to make it to where I start a game at 7 o'clock. You know, I could be doing something else at 9:15.
No. But I want you to be able to – I want the game to be done by 10 so I can go to sleep.
Okay.
I think getting under – consistently being under 3 hours should be the goal and not 2:58.
Yeah, I think you can make – and listen, I think you can make the argument that Major League Baseball's problems, you know, as a game and connecting is more about the marketing of the game than the game itself.
They do a lot of stupid things. I mean, and all the leagues are guilty. Some of them have backed off it. But, I mean, I want to say, and somebody might know this better than me, baseball, I think, is still the most restrictive and the most eager to go and get you when you're posting things online, sharing videos. Like, you need fans sharing things. You need fans using game footage to make cool videos and cut-ups and spend. This is what this guy did last night, and I feel like baseball still fights that stuff more than the other leagues, and you can't do that anymore.
All right, Bilotti's got the flop sweat, so you got to get to an update here, Bogus. Take it away.
Oh, yeah, sure. Mets first baseman, Pete Alonso.
The flop sweats. You never heard of that?
No, I heard
it. Where you just start sweating profusely just for no reason whatsoever?
No, that my hesitation.
Like a dog in heat.
Right, it was me deciding whether or not to follow up on Pete's issues with the clock, but I'm not going to.
No, he's got a nice do-rag out. He's mopping his forehead, so there you go.
Mets first baseman Pete Alonso following up his home run derby title with a little all-star game history last night.
Go-ahead run at the plate. Alonso, it gets through Torres and into left center field, and two runs are going to score. This is a one-run ball game.
That's Joe Buck on Fox. Alonso, somehow the first rookie ever with two RBI in the Midsummer Classic. He got the National League within one in the eighth last night in Cleveland, but they got no closer with Mike Moustakas popping out to leave Alonso and Paul DeJong in scoring position. Then Yankees closer Aroldis Chapman struck out the side in the ninth for a 4-3 win. That's seven in a row now, 19 of 23 for the American League. All of a sudden, they lead the all-time series 45-43 with two ties. Before the game, Commissioner Rob Manfred addressed something we addressed on the show yesterday. Talks about adding the DH to the National League will not happen until after the 2021 season, and Manfred said it is not inevitable that the DH goes to the NL. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver complained yesterday about the obvious tampering with free agents that occurred this summer. Silver says teams want to know they're on level playing fields. He says he would like, quote, enforceable rules to keep GMs honest. Meanwhile, teams will have one challenge next season. This is a one-year trial. Coaches have only one challenge, even if they're right, and they must have a timeout left to use one. Only fouls called against you, out-of-bounds plays, and goaltending can be challenged. And a bill that would allow college athletes to profit from the use of their name and likeness passed another California subcommittee yesterday. This is the bill, by the way, the NCAA threatened that California schools could be kept out of championship events if it becomes law. Moose?
All right. Thank you, Andrew. We'll get into Manfred's comments and his reaction to Justin Verlander, but want to hear from you in terms of baseball because you got to... You know, time to think about it. It's kind of a little bit of a time here where baseball's the main attraction. All-Star Game rearview mirror, Home Run Derby rearview mirror, a couple of good days out in Cleveland, Ohio. I think baseball's making the right steps and promoting the game. I want to hear from you. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. It's Taz of the Moose, Mark Melusis, Andrew Bogish in the house this morning for the vacationing Taz. We'll come back with your calls next.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, you know what time it is. Taz the Pros, where you, the listener, get to ask us a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Submit your question. Be listening later on the show. We might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. For all your car care needs, can guarantee low prices, excellent customer service. Wear O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every single day. Let's head down to Virginia. Bisegla's old stopping grounds. Richmond it is. It's Chris at CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Chris?
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
What up, Chris? What's going on, bud?
Pretty good, pretty good. So my thing is, I think the number one reason why baseball is failing is because with every other sport, with basketball, football, there's always this college perception. You know, Zion Williams went number one this year. You know, Zion Williams can walk in any street in America and people are going to know, hey, that's Zion Williams. You know, just knowing the name of the number one baseball player drafted this year, nobody knows. Like, 9 out of your 10 callers and listeners are not going to know who the number one player was picked in baseball this year. You know, nobody knows who won the World Series. There's no blue bloods in baseball. Everybody knows Duke. Everybody knows North Carolina. Everybody knows Alabama and their respective sports. But in baseball, there's no blue bloods in baseball. You know, there's no history of baseball. College baseball basically is non-existent. So I think at the MLB level, they need to put an investment to make that more marketable. So when these guys come up, people know these faces. People are getting excited about their draft picks coming up.
I think it's going to be very, very difficult, even if baseball invests it, to get college baseball up to level where college football and college basketball are. But I don't disagree with you. You want to look at a marketing tool, Chris? I think you nailed it. I mean, it's inherent right there for both of the two most popular sports in America because you've watched them play collegially. Now, it might be only for 1 year, and that rule in the next couple of years, Andrew, might go by the wayside where you'll have high schoolers once again going from, high school senior right to the NBA. I mean, that's right upon us, and that's fine. So that'll then come to an end, and those that go to college will be more of the 2 or 3 year variety before they turn pro and go to the NBA. But there's no way, college baseball, I'm not a huge, I'll watch some of the College World Series. I watched Vandy and Michigan in the 3-game final. It was entertaining, but I don't think we'll ever see college baseball on the level of college football or college basketball in popularity.
And again, we're at a point where it's almost not fixable because no matter what you do to make college baseball more popular, it's not the same talent depth on each team of guys that are going to be in the pros. And there's always going to be time between being college baseball and being in the pros. It just doesn't happen where guys go right from the end of their college series through the draft to Major League Baseball. Just it doesn't work like that. So you can make it popular, but then we also have a very short attention span. When it takes 2 years for a college star at least to get to the majors, I'm going to have forgotten of him by then.
Well, that's a good point. You're right. It's the rare guy that steps in right from college and goes right to Major League Baseball. It rarely ever happens. Really is. It's like seeing a comet in the sky. We'll come back. I talked about not complaining about Major League Baseball, Bogish. I've got a complaint with the commissioner. We'll get into that next. Taz, Moose, Bogish in the house, CBS Sports Radio.